Welcome to the Tanakh podcast for the final chapter of Sefer Shoftim, chapter 21. Yes, indeed, I made a mistake. As we move from chapter 20 to chapter 21, we move from catastrophe to absurdity, we move from tragedy to travesty, because Bnei Israel have just waged war against Binyamin and suddenly turn around, Vayisu kolam vayivku b'chi gadol, they start crying and say, Lama Hashem Elohei Israel, why God has this happened that we have lost an entire tribe in Israel? And they've just killed them. What are they thinking? And now we enter into an absurdity because they've made two oaths. The first oath is that nobody is allowed to allow any of their daughters to marry anybody from Binyamin. That's number one. Number two, verse five, they've said that any tribe who didn't come to war to fight Binyamin must die. Now, let's explain how this works. They say, what are we going to do? We read at the end of the previous chapter that there are only 600 men left from Binyamin. But they're stuck because they made an oath and none of them, all the women have been killed. And only 600 men got away. And now they can't marry any of their daughters to Binyamin in order to restore Binyamin. So what are they going to do? And they say, aha, well, we made an oath that if people don't come to war, they're liable for death. Okay, well, there's a town who didn't come for war. They're a tribe, town in Eva HaYarden. Their name is Yavesh Gilad. And you know what we'll do? We're going to go and kill them all and take their daughters. They send 12,000 soldiers and they say, kill everybody, men, women, and children. But what you should do is just leave the virgin girls because we need them. So, as I said, we're adding absurdity to catastrophe as now they kill another entire city in order to abduct their women so that they can have these virgin girls for the men of Binyamin. But however, it is still not enough. Because they take from the war 400 women, and now they're still short of 200. And now they come up with another great plan. They say, Chag Hashem b'Shiloh miyamim lamima. There is a festival in Shiloh where all the women dance in the vineyards. So what we're going to do is we are going to chataftem. We're going to kidnap another 200 women, and that way the men of Binyamin will have their ability to reproduce, and we won't have lost a tribe, and we will have kept all of our vows. And so here they've abducted 600 women. The Binyamin can restore their ranks, and everything is just sababa, wonderful. I hope that you get the absurdity of this. First of all, what should they do? Let's go back to the story of Yiftach. They should just abrogate their vows. They should just say, okay, we made a vow and it is inappropriate. Don't kill more people. If you want to give your daughters to Binyamin, then do that. But hold on a second. 2 minutes ago, you decided that Binyamin was so evil that you weren't willing just to kill the perpetrators of the rape. You weren't just willing to just kill the people of Giv'ah. You decided you'd destroy the entire Binyamin, and now you're feeling sorry about it? What is going on here? I can't help feeling that what is it that makes a vow more important than human life? There's something deeply wrong. And as the Sefer ends, B'yamim ahem, ein melech b'Yisrael, ish hayashar be'inav yaseh, in those days there is no king in Israel, each man does whatever he sees fit. There definitely is a sense that ish hayashar be'inav yaseh, morality is being decided on in phenomenally spurious lines. What is this morality, please? So I think that now it's time to say a few summative comments about the Book of Shoftim. As we said in our opening class, Shoftim is depicted by disarray. We can't defend our borders. We never managed to produce for any war more than 32,000 soldiers. National defense doesn't exist. There's tremendous infighting tribally. And of course, the spiritual level couldn't be lower. We keep on sinking lower and lower and lower, and our leaders are sinking lower and lower and lower. These are terrible times. And in every department of political science around the country, every PhD, every department comes with the conclusion, we need a king. In fact, Chazal say that this book is written by none other than Shmuel, the man who was asked to establish the monarchy. If that's true, then the clear conclusion needs to be, Bayamim ha'hem ein melech b'Yisrael, we need a king. A king will unite the nation. Let's remember that in the first war of King Saul, we have 330,000 soldiers, 10 times the maximum number in the book of Shoftim. We need a king in order to give us secure borders, and indeed Shaul does that. So that would be the conclusion. However, then we would not need a book of Nevuah. I will say that Shmuel, interestingly enough, begins in Shiloh, exactly where this Sefer ends. But in our Sefer, look at chapter 21. They visit Shiloh. It's hardly a place that anybody knows. They need to describe the precise location. Chag Hashem b'Shiloh, Yamim Yamima. There's a festival in Shiloh. You know where Shiloh is? It's just a little north of Beit El. It's a little east of the road which goes from Beit El to Shechem and a little south of Levona. Nobody knows where Shechem, where Shiloh is, where the Mikdash is. Open chapter 1 of the book of Shmuel. You have a family, the family of Elkanah, who dafka do go to Shiloh. They go to Shiloh regularly. And you've got a woman who makes an appropriate vow. Thank God. For the first time, not a silly vow, not an inappropriate vow, but a very appropriate vow in order to have a child. So definitely Sefer Shmuel is a tikkun for Sefer Shoftim, but Shoftim has a far more complex message. Because of course, if you go to the cycle of Sefer Shoftim, what does the cycle say? That things go wrong not because we don't have national leaders. Things go wrong because we have sinned. The Navi Shmuel wants to tell us that the king is not enough. If you change the political system, it will not resolve the situation unless you also resolve the spiritual situation. The cycle will continue even if you have a king, unless you repair the spiritual situation. Ein melech b'Yisrael, but also Ish hayashar be'inav ya'aseh. Second of all, if we read this litany of stories that we have at the end of the book, which tell us the stories of Giloy Arayot, Shvichut Amim, Avodah Zarah, we have to watch the spiritual texture of our nation. So on the one hand, the book is saying we need a leader. But maybe let's even get more sophisticated. What sort of a leader do we need? The ultimate king, or the ultimate shofet in our book, was Gidon. He managed to defuse a civil war. He managed to defeat the enemy roundly. He managed to bring Am Yisrael into line. He went to war with 300 soldiers. And yet, after he dies, the people want his children to be king. He refuses, and he makes an ephod instead, and that leads people in the wrong direction. His son becomes a tyrant. So there's a very complex message. On the one hand, it seems like we do need a king. On the other hand, we've got to be very suspect about what type of kings we have, because even if the best shoftim, if their dynasties turn rotten, even if the best shoftim don't succeed in bringing Am Yisrael correctly to God, even with all these shoftim, we still need to watch our spiritual climate, then things are far more complex. We can't look at the political system as being a quick fix. The responsibility lies with the nation. So I think that really goes to the message of Sefer Shoftim, that really Sefer Shoftim is all about leadership. And it does talk about the threat and the disarray that happens when we don't have organized national political leadership. But what it's really saying is don't think that this is a simple fix. There are far more complex factors. Number one, what about the spiritual elements? Number two, what type of leaders do you have? Do you want a king who looks like a Yiftach? Do you want a king? Yiftach is able to engage in diplomacy with the king of Ammon, but look what he does to his daughter. Is that the sort of king you want? One last postscript. This is a book of prophecy. Chazal say it's written by Shmuel. But Shmuel wrote another book. And the second book he wrote, according to Chazal, is actually the book of Rut. It begins with the words, Vayhi bimei shvot ha-shoftim. And it talks about a time when families are leaving the country. Wonder why. They're leaving the country because the country is in an awful state during the time of the shoftim. But if you remember the book of Rut, it is all about loyalty. It is all about chesed. It is all about being there for family. So if the book of Shoftim focuses on national leadership and on idolatry and on the type of leaders, the book of Rut actually wants to tell us that there are other factors at play as well. That in a village or in a town such as Beit Lechem, you can show loyalty to your mother-in-law. You can show loyalty to your deceased relatives by buying back their field. We call that geula. And by marrying somebody who has shown incredible dedication to the Jewish people and restoring a family where a family has become lost. So these are the complex messages about the period of Shoftim, one of the worst periods, 300 years of constant invasion, ups and downs, what turbulence. Everybody in the country. Again, why is this book written? Because everybody is saying, we need a king and that will solve all our problems. Shmuel comes, Alpi Nevuah, to tell us it's far more complex. There are many other variables. There are many other factors and that we should be aware of them in order that we succeed as a nation. Thank you for listening. And Yishar Koach, Mazal Tov, we have now finished another book of Tanakh.